Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Is it just me, or has TV gotten really complicated? I'm either endlessly searching for my favorite shows or subscribing to a dozen different streaming services to make sure I can watch everything I love. And I'm not even saving that much money compared to my old cable bill. Thankfully, Philo has changed all that for me. One service, all the stuff I need. Philo's got current seasons of the shows I can't miss live on networks like Paramount, A&E, MTV, Discovery, and TLC. Classics like The Office, Martin, and Friends that I never get sick of, and all of the incredible originals on AMC Plus, from Mad Men to Orphan Black. Don't forget their library of more than 75,000 movies and shows, all of which I can save and re-watch anytime for a whole year. Never miss a minute of shows like Gypsy Rose, Life After Lockup on Lifetime, Yellowstone, or Fatal Attraction. Best of all, with Philo, you get all this for just $28 a month. No contracts, no hassles. Just one subscription and a world of entertainment. So go to philo.tv and check it out for a free 7-day trial. That's philo.tv to start watching.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Blinds.com Cyber Monday sales event is happening now. Get some of the best deals of the season with up to 50% off site-wide, plus a free professional measure. Avoid the home renovation overwhelm. Swapping out old blinds for custom window coverings delivers big results, and Blinds.com makes it easy and affordable. Skip the long lines or waiting around at home all day just to get a quote. With Blinds.com, shopping online doesn't mean sacrificing quality, style, or service. A Blinds.com design expert can help you make the perfect selection. We can even handle everything from measure to install. Get your whole home installed for one low cost. With over 25 million windows covered, Blinds.com is the number one online retailer of custom window coverings. Shop Blinds.com Cyber Monday sales event today for some of the best deals of the season. Save up to 50% site-wide, plus premium doorbusters and a free professional measure. Up to 50% off at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to our Gulf Coast Bank and Trust Tiger Tailgating Show. Mike Dettelia along with the legendary Herb Tyler. No, I missed saying that last week. You wasn't here, so I missed.
You can say it even.
Well, I'll say it a couple more times today so I can get my extra couple bucks that I missed from last week.
And look, Luke knows what to say. Legendary.
Yeah, legendary. That's it. Herb and I are at Acme Oyster House here in Baton Rouge, 3535 Perkins Road. Come on by and visit us at a full house here for lunchtime. And so stop on by, get a great meal here. They got lunch specials, drink specials. Before you go to the game, or if you don't have tickets and you want to watch the game here, surround sound TV, as Herb and I are watching all the games at the moment. Also, we want to thank Map Construction, Map Built, Build Beyond, our presenting sponsor here of our Gulf Coast Bank and Trust Tiger Tailgating Show. Herb, last week, LSU got back on the winning ways with a W over Vanderbilt. Okay, after the first series where Vanderbilt scored, to be honest, LSU controlled that game. They really did. You were efficient on offense. I thought defensively you handled the running quarterback pretty well. And you limited the big plays in the passing game. I think when that happens, you have a chance to win. And right now, like Tennessee's 33-17 over Vanderbilt, that I thought that would probably have been the score. Mm-hmm. Now, Vanderbilt scored late on LSU, but I really thought they had control of that game from start to finish. And at the end, they had an opportunity to score and just took the knee.
Yeah, well, you know, when you go back and look at the Vanderbilt game from last week, LSU really needed a win. I mean, we were kind of licking our wounds from the past couple of games or three games before that where it just didn't go our way. And I think you got back to winning ways, which started with, what, stopping the run on defense and then not having any turnovers, you know, at the end of the day. So I think that, Pavia is one of the better quarterbacks in the SEC and also in the nation.
No, he put them back on the map.
He did. And LSU,
he put them back on the map.
LSU kind of bottled him up last week, and it really made the world of difference to me because he is the guy that can actually make a difference. But when you go back and look at that game, like you said, the first play of the game was all Vanderbilt. After that, LSU really controlled the game. I think that, you know, being back in Tiger Stadium was it's something that really plays to LSU's strengths. But ultimately, it's to gain a little bit of confidence moving forward, period. Every game, every play, every quarter gives you a little bit more confidence in your teammates and who you are and what, you know, what we need to do to move forward. Now, the other thing I liked about it was there were some really decent recruits that were there, and they got a chance to see LSU on the winning side, which they hadn't seen in quite some time, you know, a couple, 3 weeks or so. But ultimately, I was really proud of the way they played. I think that Nussmeier really showed me a little something when it came to not making mistakes, because if you notice the last three games that he played that we lost, it was really, you know, I guess it was magnified, the mistakes that he was making. And last week it showed when you don't throw an intercept, when you don't turn the ball over, and he only, you know, he threw for 332 yards and one touchdown, but that was more than enough that you needed in order to win that game.
Five drops.
That's right.
Okay, so that's the disturbing part.
You can't have that.
You were able to run the football primarily to the right side, and they kind of banged away at that. So that's kind of what you want to do today when you play up against Oklahoma. You got to be able to establish the run, jump on them early, and do not let Jackson Arnold take off and run. You and I watched part of this when Oklahoma played Tulane, and the TV right in front of us was showing the game. Man, Jackson Arnold, he looked like a track sprinter in the game. I mean, Tulane, if they were playing two-hand touch, couldn't really get a good grip on him. That has to stop tonight. You can't let him be the catalyst as a runner. Say, okay, Arnold, if you're going to beat me, do it throwing the football, but you're not going to run the football on me.
Yeah, one of the most impressive things that Arnold has done for me is he's got 12 touchdowns to only three interceptions. And that, to me, makes the world of a difference as a quarterback. You don't turn the ball over. You don't give the ball up. You got – you know, you give your team more opportunities to score points and to be able to win football games. Now, you go back to last week when they played, you know, Alabama, and they shocked the world, if you will, with that win. No one gave them a chance, gave them no chance whatsoever. But you go back and you look at that, Oklahoma's defense put Jalen Milroe in the spin cycle. He didn't know what was hitting him.
They made him throw
beat him by throwing the football. That's right.
And not run. And
yes, exactly.
And so that's what you got to do today against Jackson Arnold. But look how Milroe played against LSU. And look how he played against Oklahoma.
Two completely different. And he had a week off, too, after that, too, before that.
It's so schizophrenic across with him. But that's kind of what I think you're going to see with Jalen.
Here's the thing. You come back and you look at Oklahoma's defense, how do they play against LSU? I think they're going to try to do the same. I think they're going to try to confuse Nuss because they know he's a little turnover prone. And, you know, Jalen Milroe threw three intercepts last week. That's not like Jalen Milroe. He also only had 7 yards rushing on 15 attempts. That is a phenomenal defense. Now, you know, no one anticipates Nuss running the football, but we're going to try to run the ball with Caden Durham and Williams, and we're going to see how that works out for us. But Oklahoma's defense is what's going to keep them in this game today, I think. I think their offense is good, and I think they play well enough in order to win games. They're still young. They're trying to find their identity. They're a team that was, at one point, no one gave them a chance to really do much in this year's SEC.
They're a .500 football team.
That's right, .500 football team, and they're not great. They're not good. They're not bad either. They have the ability to beat anybody at any point. But let's go back and look at who they played, or let's say the last game against Alabama. Alabama's been inconsistent every week, week in and week
get
out.
Get on the roller coaster.
Get
the roller coaster.
It's just like Georgia. When Georgia's playing Georgia Tech last night, they should not have won that football game, but they find a way to win the game. So it's kind of weird, but I think LSU's got a really good opportunity to end the season with a really good win against a really good team that's going to be good in the future.
We saw in weeks past, Caden Durham was the bell cow last week, though.
Yep.
I think in the best effort I've ever seen him play, so to speak, in a Tiger uniform, Josh Williams was fantastic in that game. And, man, you know, I remember when he first came to LSU and Coach O was telling me they had given him, you know, he got kind of preferred walk-on.
Mm-hmm.
And so I said, what jumps out at him? He said, Mike, he ain't big, he's not fast, he's not powerful, but everything else he can do. I was like, okay.
That's right. What is else, right?
So I said, come on, you got to give me a little bit more than that. He's like, no, Mike, it's his toughness.
But, you know, Josh is one of those kids where, you know, you just give him an opportunity, he's going to shine, right? You know, last week, you know, Josh ran the ball very well, 14 carries for 90 yards, 2 touchdowns. But a caveat to his game is he can also pass protect whenever need be. So that's a huge part of his game that really makes it special. And then what happens off of the pass protection, you know, you chip and then you get out in the open field, and then he caught 4 balls for 61 yards. So he's a guy that you can always trust. He's going to be consistent. He's going to be the same guy week in and week out. And I really am proud for the young man.
You talk about pass protection, and you being a former quarterback, you know, a lot of times people blame an offensive line when the guy gets sacked, and a lot of times it's that guy that running back's supposed to pick up.
Yeah, you know.
People don't get that. okay, because sometimes some of the running backs, they got to learn how to block when they go to college.
They do.
Because they've never been asked to pass protect
not
at any level.
Right.
And so that plays such a big part with you, that you can trust that guy is going to pick up the extra man who comes in blitzing.
Well, you know, it's knowing the protection all the way around, really, truly, as a quarterback. You got to know your 50s, 60s, 70s, and your 90 protections, right? And then you also got to know when you have, you know, I guess extra blockers in as far as tight ends and fullbacks and things of that nature. So, but with that tailback, though, it's so hard because they're reading inside out.
Yep.
So they have to pay attention to the middle of the field from the center.
First, you got to pick that inside guy up.
Because what they're taught is the quickest way to the quarterback is straight down the middle, right? It's one straight line. Now, if someone's coming off the edge, that's for the quarterback and the receiver to do sight adjustments and understand that. But a lot of times when the running back gets caught up is they take their head away from the middle of the field sooner or too soon. And so there may be a delayed blitz up the middle, and they've already turned their eyes to the exterior outside of the interior lineman, and then all of a sudden some guy kind of creeps in really late. Or there's a stunt on the defensive line, and another guy that's on the defensive end is coming inside and rolling inside on you, and the running back's supposed to pick that up, but he didn't see it. So it's difficult. It's one of those things where I remember Kevin was really great at that. I thought Rondell was really good at it. Kendall Cleveland was really good at that. Those guys were good. Cecil, we didn't ask Cecil to block much.
Block.
Just run the ball, Cecil. But he could do it, though. He was a beast. But I just remember those guys being really smart and understanding what it took, not only to know who to block, but how to get your body positioned to block. Because a lot of times these days, you'll see those guys come running up from 5 to 7 yards back off the line of scrimmage, and they blow the running back up. Well, you've got to get your weight underneath you. You've got to get your feet shoulder width apart, and you've got to deliver the blow. You don't take the blow. So that's important. So it's with Josh Williams being really good at that, I think Nussmeier really appreciates it.
We'll be back with more of our Gulf Coast Bank and Trust Tiger Tailgating Show. Mike Dettelier along with Herb Tyler at Acme Oyster House, 3535 Perkins Road, right after this break here on the Big 870 WWE. It's better over
here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at tmobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
Money Crimes is a podcast all about the dark side of finance and sometimes murder. Find Money Crimes on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your favorite podcasts.
We're back here on our Gulf Coast Bank and Trust Tiger Tailgating Show. Mike, to tell you along with Herb Tyler, we're at Acme Oyster House, 3535 Perkins Road here in Baton Rouge. Come on by and visit us. Got some great food and drink specials. Also, we'd like to thank Map Construction, Map Bill, Bill Beyond, for being our presenting sponsor. Got a special guest with us now, and tell you a little bit about Andrew Williams. Andrew does a game day at his home.
Yep, college
each
game
and
day.
Each and every Saturday morning. Map went out there and they kind of finished it off for him. They built him a nice table, just like what you would see on college game day. Andrew's got that in the back of his home. So, Andrew, we welcome you to Big 870 WWL and our Gulf Coast Bank and Trust Tiger Tailgating Show. So now you done hit the big time.
That's right, Andrew. You're big time.
This ain't no YouTube or stuff like that with us. So, first of all, thanks for being with us.
Yes, sir.
And so you want to play kind of a questionnaire today. So we'll let you throw some questions to us.
Well, first of all, thank y'all for having me on the show. It's really a special honor. Oklahoma held Alabama to 3 points last Saturday when they upsetted them. What are the keys for LSU to put up big numbers?
Keys for me is I think you got to jump on them early.
Yep.
And I think I would want to play a little bit of bully ball with them because the big question mark going into the season was, could they stop the run? They had, I think, secondary-wise, they were okay, but at front seven, they got one dude, linebacker. My goodness. He's like, he's twins. I would try to play a little bully ball, a lot of short passes that a guy can catch it and then take off with it afterwards. Key on defense, stop the quarterback from running.
So, for me, I think the keys for LSU is to continue the wave that they started last week against Vanderbilt, and then find a way to dig back deep earlier games where we were able to be successful on some longer pass plays, right? And then get Aaron Anderson involved in the game. But the one thing Nussmeier cannot do is throw interceptions, because as you know, Oklahoma's defense is really good at forcing turnovers, things of that nature. So if LSU can play good, clean football in there in Tiger Stadium, the lights will be on, you'll be in the game, cheering loud. So I think if LSU can do that, they'll be fine.
Herb, you played football at LSU. Now you're working at MAP with my dad.
Yep.
And now we're really good friends now. And
yes, we are.
You're like the best friend. I wish I could have seen you play at LSU. I heard you were a beast.
Yes.
What was your favorite memory playing at LSU?
Well, that's a good question.
You got to have that legendary.
Yeah, you got to put legendary.
You might get a buck like I do.
Yeah.
You know, because her promise, he'd give you a dollar every time you say legendary.
If you say legendary, I'll give you a dollar. Nice. I like it. Legendary. But no, so one of my favorite memories at LSU, I think, was it's just being able to have represented the state in the way that I have, right? Coming from New Orleans and the West Bank, playing for Coach Al Ott, who actually was a guy who played at LSU, saw a lot of the purple and gold all over the state. And it was a beautiful thing for me to be able to represent my home state in the way that we did. And then we was able to turn our, LSU's football misfortunes around to fortunes. And I think what you see today is a byproduct of Kevin Falk, myself, Booger McFarland, Ty McClure, Rondell Mealy, Larry Foster, all of these guys that actually, you know, Alan Faneca, all these guys that actually are from Louisiana to go and play football at LSU. It really meant a lot to us. So that's one of my strongest memories of that. Now, as far as actual memories, everybody wants me to talk about the Florida game, which was memorable because we beat them when they were number one. But
he didn't get to be on the cover of Sports Illustrated.
That's why I don't
Kevin
like talking.
Falk
that's right.
Stole that from
him. Yeah, he stole that from me. That's why I don't like talking about that game. But anyway, my most memorable game was beating Nick Saban in the Independence Bowl in 1995 mm-hmm. when he was the head coach for Michigan State. So that was a great win.
Yep.
And Muhsin Muhammad was on that team. Wasn't he the receiver?
Yeah, Muhsin Muhammad. I forget the other guy that also played at Carolina, too, another receiver. And you had Tony Banks, who went and played on for, Los Angeles Rams at the time. He had a lot of talent on that team. So that was a huge win, a nice, memorable win.
So, Andrew, you got any more questions for Herb? Because, he was missed last week. So he should have plenty of energy.
Well, I missed
for
good reason.
It should be me the guy that's drained out.
That's right. That's right.
I had to do an extra hour without
him. Well, I had plenty of reason. My beautiful son was getting married to my now beautiful daughter-in-law. So we was in Austin, so we had a good time. So that mm-hmm. was fun.
Yep, that's it. Thank you all for having me once again.
Thank you. Thank you, Andrew. Appreciate it.
Appreciate you, Andrew.
Hey, one day you might be able to sit in these two chairs.
You
How
will
about
be.
That?
You mm-hmm. will be.
You can take over once I retire. That might be pretty soon, too.
That's right. Get ready. His allowance is going to change. It's going to go from $10 a week to zero. Yes.
We want to thank his dad, Daniel Williams, with MAP Construction for sort of setting this up. But Andrew does a great job and kind of duplicating in his backyard, which you see on College Game Day. And he has people there to talk about the games that are being played. So thank you so much, Andrew. Appreciate it, buddy.
Where can they go to watch your YouTube stuff? What's your channel name?
It's Andrew's College Game Day on YouTube.
Okay. Andrew's College Game Day on YouTube. Mm-hmm. Nice. Appreciate it.
The one from today is still loading. So
I got you. That's all right. I was on it today, of course. It's legendary.
Oh.
It's legendary.
Well, you better save some of that legendary for us. We'll be back with more of our Gulf Coast Bank and Trust Tiger Tailgating Show. Mike to tell you along with Herb Tyler. We're at Acme Oyster House here in Baton Rouge. Come on by and visit us. We'll be back and we'll have on with us Jeff Palermo from Louisiana Radio Network right after this break here on the Big 870 WWL. We're back here on our Gulf Coast Bank and Trust Tiger Tailgating Show. Mike to tell you along with Herb Tyler. We're at Acme Oyster House, 3535 Perkins Road here in Baton Rouge. Come on by and visit us. They got great food and drink specials here. And if you got a ticket to the game, you want to pick up something to eat before you head there, stop on by. If you don't have tickets, man, you want to watch the game, you can do it here. And again, super food and great drink specials.
That's right.
On our Oakwood Heart Jewelers Talk and Text line, we have on with us Jeff Palermo from the Louisiana Radio Network, and he's part of our Tiger Scout Notebook, brought to you by Thibodaux Regional Health System, totally focused on patient care. Jeff, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon.
How you guys doing today, Mike and Herb?
We're doing great.
Good, Jeff.
Jeff, we got a W last week, and we talked about a lot of different things. They didn't let Vanderbilt's quarterback control the tempo of that game. And I think, really, after the big passing play, really LSU was in total control of that football game. But I think it started early where you didn't let him become a threat as a runner, and you were able to run the football, primarily working on that right side of LSU's offensive line.
Well, I think that it's pretty much the same game plan tonight, right? I mean, you just got to make sure that Oklahoma's quarterback doesn't beat you, and then you got to try to run the ball against a very stingy Oklahoma defense that just doesn't allow teams to run the football. And I think where LSU could actually have a little more success offensively tonight is throwing the football. Oklahoma's cornerbacks have struggled this season, so this should be a game where Nussmeier has, it should be a game where Nussmeier has some success as long as they provide him the appropriate protection here tonight.
Herb?
Jeff, I wasn't here last week. I want to thank you for an outstanding show with Mike. And I was in Austin, and I was, my son was getting married and things of that nature. And I saw all of the hoopla with the Texas Longhorn fan base getting ready for this week, right? And so I wanted to ask you is, where do you see LSU's atmosphere fitting into this game tonight? Because, you go back a couple of games ago, not the Vanderbilt game, but a few games prior to that, even the Vanderbilt game, I think, it was kind of like an empty house at the end of the game.
Yeah.
So What are you looking forward to tonight when it comes down to the fans and being there for the players at the end of the game?
Well, that's going to be very interesting tonight because it's going to get cold. Yeah. And if LSU is not having a very good night, the place could really empty out at halftime. I mean, unfortunately, that's just the way it is. I think it's just going to be going to depend on, you know, how LSU plays here tonight and if can they keep the fan base engaged in this game. And, you know, does Oklahoma put up a pretty good fight as well? I think the weather, obviously it's a beautiful, beautiful day right now. Too bad they're not kicking it off right now at 2:40, you know, a 2:30 game. But I think the weather could play a part in it. And we just know it's been, you know, this is the final game. It's a bit of a letdown that, you know, this game doesn't mean more. When you looked at the season or before the season started, you were kind of looking at this game. Oh, man, LSU, Oklahoma in the final game of the regular season. Could this be a game where a playoff spot is on the line or something like that? And, you know, obviously Oklahoma's had a really rough season in their first year in the SEC, and LSU's had its issues. So if this is a game where, you know, it's kind of a lackluster and two teams just, I don't want to say going through the motions, but if there's not a lot of excitement in that first half, I could see a lot of fans bailing out at halftime or towards the end of the third quarter and looking for, their warm car to turn on the heater, you know, because it's going to be a chilly night in Tiger Stadium, and that certainly could kill the environment, especially in the fourth quarter.
You're playing for pride today. You're not playing for anything else. A win and pride and the advancement of the program on both sides of the ball, and especially at LSU, especially when you're playing at night in Tiger Stadium. So,
you got a lot of recruits.
Yeah.
Watching, because what we don't talk about, we haven't talked about today, is Wednesday, opening day of national signing period.
That's right.
So man, it's like, okay, you jump from the last game, and in 48 hours, bang. You got National Signing Day for 2025.
That's right. I was going to ask Jeff about that. What does he think about that, you know, this early signing period, and what is LSU going to look like? What is that, you know, who are they going to hopefully land?
Yeah, I see that Jakeem Stewart is one of the guys, obviously the talented defensive lineman, who's sitting out this year after transferring to Carr. He's supposed to be on campus, which is a good sign because there was concern after Bryce Underwood ended up going to Michigan that maybe this class would fall apart a little bit. Really, they've only had one defection since then, so that's good. I think you have the other thing. You got the 21 seniors tonight. I'm sure all those guys are certainly going to be playing very hard in this football game. But it is very weird to think about this as far as the National Signing Day coming up, you know, a week away, or less than a week away now on Wednesday, as you mentioned. And I don't know where the perfect spot to put it is. You know, a lot of these kids are committing now, so much so at the end of their junior year at the end of their junior season, in that period between, you know, in particular, you know, from January in through July. There's, you know, that's where you're building your next recruiting class. And I don't know if you don't decide to put this signing period somewhere in August or something. I know they won't do it that way because you don't know what's going to transpire in that season. And if you have a bad season, a coach gets fired and all that kind of stuff. But, you know, middle of December was rough because you were just coming off, especially those teams that are playing in the conference championship game. And then you had the National Signing Day and you didn't get that kind of a break. But not only do you have the National Signing Day Wednesday, then I think it's the week after or something. I'm not exactly clear on the transfer portal window then opens. So, I mean, it's just nonstop for these coaches, you know, right after. But, I mean, Brian Kelly was asked about it on Monday. And for the most part, obviously, the 2025 recruiting class, the hay is in the barn, right? You just got to make sure you hold on tight. You never know when you're going to get some, you know, big-time NIL offers might sway a guy. In fact, you know, they lost that edge rusher out of the state of Indiana. That was the one defection that they've had so far in this recruiting class. So At this point, I think you're just kind of holding on tight, hoping something doesn't happen. But then, you know, I think from LSU's perspective, since they do have all this additional NIL money that's not going to go toward Bryce Underwood, they got this money, and I'm sure they're working the phones and trying to flip some guys here in the final days before this early National Signing Day period.
You know, they didn't call me yet either, so I'm not going to see none of that.
You ain't getting no money. That time didn't pass. You sound like Bobby J with that.
Looking for
that NIL money.
That's it.
But, Jeff, man, I remember you and I would meet up. This is in February when they had the Bayou Bash, you know, on National Signing Day. And you're like, whoa, that seems like eons ago.
That's right.
And yet it's really not that far back.
Yeah, no, it is. It's certainly crazy the way this has worked, because that was like, right, that was as big as we as Americans when we celebrate the NFL draft period, right? Those 3 days of the draft, that's what, you know, when they had the Bayou Bash and National Signing Day that first Wednesday in February. I mean, that was such a huge day. Everybody got, some people took the day off and, you know, just watched, fax machines or, faxes come in through them fax machines and stuff. So it's certainly a different world, no doubt about it.
Yep, we live in a different world. Going back to the game itself, one of the guys that I remember when Tulane played Oklahoma and talking to Coach John Sumrall, and he brought up about their defense. I say, Coach, you got to worry about one cat for sure. Number 28, Daniel Stutzman. At linebacker, who's a big linebacker who can run the field. He plays well against the run. He's also pretty good in the coverage part of the game. And every once in a while, they shoot him through there on a blitz. So the following week after they played him, he's like, boy, Michael, you're right about that. I swear, it looked like they were twins. Well, two of them wearing the 28. That's the guy on defense. You got to say, I can't let him be the controller up front. He's going to get his tackles, but you can't let him control the tempo of your game. And, man, Stutzman got great instincts. That's the best comment I can give about him, because he's got the physical traits, and he can run the field.
Yeah.
But it's his intelligence and his instincts to put himself in a position to make a play defensively.
Mm-hmm.
Makes a bunch of tackles behind the line of scrimmage. And when you look at the stat sheet for Oklahoma, he has like twice as many tackles as anybody else. And for Oklahoma to convince him to come back for this season, I mean, I think that was a huge coup for them. I mean, he has been the focal point of their defense. And it's going to be a very, very interesting matchup. We all know that LSU's had some struggles with the interior of their line. You still don't know if Garrett Dellinger is going to play in this football game. He was listed at questionable on the injury report on Friday, so that's still in doubt whether he's going to be able to play. And you're going to hear his name if you're at the game or you're watching the game or listening to the game. You're going to hear his name called a lot. He is the one guy defensively that Oklahoma has. I think they're also pretty good on the defensive line. I think their front seven is pretty good, just kind of looking at it. But again, I think where LSU could certainly have some success is throwing the football. But you got to give Nussmeier time. This is a team that can put some pressure on the opposing quarterback. This is a team that also feasts off turnovers. We saw that last week when they intercepted Jalen Milroe three times. And really, turnovers might really decide this football game. I mean, when Oklahoma's won the turnover battle, they've won all those games. When they've lost the turnover battle, they lost all those games. So it's been pretty simple for Oklahoma to figure out why they haven't been playing very well, to go along with the fact that they really just can't throw the football. But this is still a team that kind of lives and dies by the turnover. So it's going to be careful. It's going to be a big night for Garrett Nussmeier to make sure he takes care of the football.
When you look at it, offensive line-wise, I thought that Campbell had his best game of the season last week against Vanderbilt. Now, sometimes it's who you up against, but I thought he was a dominant player up front against the Commodores. And to think about it, this will be his last game in Tiger Stadium tonight. Because he's not coming back. I mean, the next time he's going to put on a uniform, well, he might play in the bowl game, but other than that, you know, it's going to be an NFL uniform. And remembering how that guy started as a true freshman Emory Jones.
Yep.
He was a little later in his freshman year, but he became the starter on the right side. How those two tackles have been, for the most part, really dominant players as protecting the quarterback.
No doubt about it. Pass protection, those guys are something else. And they've been a key. I would say maybe the one game that Campbell struggled a little bit this year in the pass protection was South Carolina game. But eventually made enough adjustments for LSU to pull out that game. And, man, does that win look so much bigger now, considering South Carolina just finished the regular season 9-3, and who knows, might find themselves in the college football playoff. But Will Campbell was as good as advertised, right, coming out of Neville. You heard about this kid, one of the top prospects in the state, one of the top prospects in the offensive line, basically becomes the starting tackle when Brian Kelly gets here, and he's held that spot down. He's been a leader. I thought in the media sessions, at least last week going into that Vanderbilt game, he really set the tone, talked about playing for pride, saying, hey, obviously the standard here is to try to win 10 games, but we're not able to do that. But the standard is also still to prepare for games, work hard for games, do everything you need to do to try to win. Winning is still the standard at LSU, whether it's winning 9 games, winning 8 games, winning whatever it may be. I really think he, and obviously he was one of the guys that helped lead that players' meeting that they had heading into the Vanderbilt game. So, yeah, he's been as exactly what you advertised. You're hoping that, hey, you know, during his time, LSU might have won an SEC championship or might have gotten into the playoff this year with a guy like Will Campbell anchoring that left tackle. It didn't happen. But it was a big recruit for LSU to get because they were losing a lot of the, you know, I mean, they were losing offensive linemen in the state of Louisiana, especially in that northeast Louisiana area. To other schools, in particular Alabama, Cam Robinson obviously is the one that you think of immediately. So the fact that they were able to get him to come to LSU, that was significant, and he certainly lived up to the billing.
And I think you could say the same about Emory. I know he's a Baton Rouge guy, but, you know, I know his recruitment, there were a ton of teams that were trying to flip him right toward the end of National Signing Day, and yet he stayed in home at University LSU. But the thing with him is I think he's going to end up being a better pro than he is as a collegiate player.
He certainly could, and obviously there's a push from LSU to see if they can somehow – keep him here for one more season.
I hear it too. They may got a few dollars. Underwood.
That's right. It depends. It just depends. If they call me, I might go back. Just so you know.
You can't play no right tackle.
Yeah, I know you're right.
You can't play no right tackle.
Yeah, you never know.
Jeff, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon. Always appreciate it, buddy. Thank you so much for your time.
All right, sounds good, guys. Thanks a lot. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Jeff.
That's a wrap on our Tiger Scout Notebook, brought to you by Thibodaux Regional Health System, focused on patient care. I want to thank Greg Stock and everybody at Thibodaux Regional Health System for backing us each and every year. We'll be back here on our Gulf Coast Bank and Trust Tiger Tailgating Show right after this break. We're finishing up here on our number one, or our Gulf Coast Bank and Trust Tiger Tailgating Show. Mike to tell you along with Herb Tyler. And we're at Acme Oyster House, 3535 Perkins Road here in Baton Rouge. Ohio State, who was a 20.5-point favorite today, got upset by Michigan 13-10 four straight years. The Buckeyes have dropped it. And can't say, well, Jim Harbaugh's on the other side.
No.
Sharon Moore, he beat you today. 13-10. This was the type of game Michigan had to have to beat them, and they played right into their hands.
And obviously, you know, with us losing the Bryce Underwood lottery, if you will, I did not want Michigan to win. So, you know, Ohio State, I love you, but, man, you stunk it up today. That's all right, though.
Man,
we'll see.
Some, what happens. Some pressure on Ryan Day.
Well,
the
pressure's been on him for a while now, in my opinion. I think it's – and then you went out and you got a Chip Kelly to come and run the offense is not becoming what you need it to be. So,
and also South Carolina 17-14 over Clemson. Great game to watch. We'll be back with more of our Gulf Coast Bank and Trust Tiger Tailgating Show right after this news break. Welcome back to our Gulf Coast Bank and Trust Tiger Tailgating Show. Mike DeTelle along with the legendary, Tyler. We're here at Acme Oyster House, 3535 Perkins Road here in Baton Rouge. Come on by and see us. We had a great lunch crowd here. Kind of settled a little bit, but, man, if you're looking for something great to eat and drinks,
yes,
come on by to Acme.
To be.
Man, it is the spot to be. And if you're going to the game or if you don't have tickets, come on here. You can watch the game and enjoy it with all the folks here at Acme Oyster House. Also want to thank our presenting sponsor, Map Construction. Map built, build beyond.
Build beyond.
Halftime at a Bayou Classic. Southern with a 10-7 lead over Grambling. And we're watching some of the halftime festivities. And old Boozer is there cutting up for the crowd. And so, and we talked about it before, but Missouri with a 7-0 lead over Arkansas. Somebody text me about that. Missouri. 7-0 yep. over Arkansas. Mm-hmm. It is midway into the first quarter. Auburn and Alabama 0-0. So if I'm Alabama fans, you start to kind of put a little bit of sweat after watching a 20.5 point underdog Michigan team beat Ohio State today 13-10.
Yeah.
And Herb, that has got to be one of the biggest upsets of the season. Mm-hmm. Nobody gave Michigan a chance today. They had over 20 guys that entered the NFL draft, either by getting picked or signed as college free agents into the NFL. Sharon goes in there and he beats them. Everybody, once Harbaugh's out of there, it's not going to be the same. Well, it sure looked the same today. And Ohio State with Chip Kelly running the offense could only muster 10 points.
Well, the Wolverines got a little mojo or some kind of something going on with Ohio State because Ohio State just
doesn't play
well.
No, it's in your head. It's in your head now.
They just don't play well against them for whatever reason. And I think, you know, that seat over at Ohio State for Ryan Day is flaming right now. And it's hot. And so, I don't know what he can do. He's tried a little bit of this and a little bit of that, and it ain't working. He can't get over the hump. For some reason, and maybe Ryan Day is not the guy there that can get Ohio State to where they want to be. You go out and you make a splash hire with Chip Kelly, that offense should be flying high. They should be putting up 50, 60 points a game. But they're not, especially with the talent they have. Now, I will say this personally, I don't think they have the same caliber of talent at the quarterback position to be able to do the things that Chip Kelly does well.
Will Howard is, I would use solid.
He's yes.
As a player.
He's a good player. He's solid with him, but you're not going to be dynamic with him. That's two different things. So I think that whenever they can get their guy in, that might help them. But I don't think it's going to matter. They had C.J. Stroud at one point, and I don't think they beat him with Stroud. And so I just think that Ryan Day has I think he's a good coach. I just don't think that he's, for whatever reason, cannot get over that hump. And it's not the Michigan hump. It's the whatever that hump is that's preventing him from going to that next level because they get the players. They have their pick of the litters of the litter who they want to come and join that team all the time.
You know, talking to Jim Nagy, who's the senior director of the Senior Bowl, one of the things he told me was last year they invited 15 players from Michigan. Not all of them showed now. Mm-hmm. I think they had 7.
Mm-hmm.
This year, you know who got the most invites? Ohio State. 13 invites went out.
And they couldn't beat Michigan today with those players. Now, here's the thing. It's, again, preparation, and then you've got to perform during the game and all those things. I think you're right. I think it's in the back of their heads that they feel like they just can't beat Michigan. There's something about it.
And you get into that fourth quarter, and it's 10-10, and you say, man, this is happening again?
Again,
it
yes.
can't. It can't be, but it
deja
is.
Deja vu. Here we go again.
Also today in a great game, we got to watch the very end of it. Wow. South Carolina came back late to beat Clemson 17-14, and Clemson
yep.
was inside
today.
The 20-yard line. Interception. And South Carolina's defense bailed them out late when it looked as though Clemson was going to get that game away. You know, Clemson led almost start to finish here. And until late, you saw the quarterback take off and run. And there ain't nobody catching that guy. Sellers can run.
Look,
oh, my God.
This morning on the world-famous Andrews College Game Day on YouTube, we called it. We said that South Carolina's defense was going to be the reason why they beat Clemson today. Now, here's the thing with Clemson, right? You got Clemson who has been there before. They have a track record of being a team that plays late in December, early in January. The problem you got now with Clemson is they don't want to go out and do the NIL stuff. They don't want to go out and do the transfer portal stuff. So what I think is hurting Clemson is Dabo Sweeney's reluctancy, if you will, of adapting, really truly adapting to the new college football rules and the way that college football is going to be moving forward. I think he's got to figure out a way to let his pride go and make it happen.
The other thing, too, is his longtime defensive coordinator is not a head coach at Oklahoma.
That's right, which is why Oklahoma is playing the way they
And so I don't think they're nearly as physical or as talented on the defensive side of football. You know, Herb, at one time, Pete Jenkins was working with that group. He had three first-round picks, the other guy ended up going in round three. Mm-hmm. So he had four guys that went in the top 100, but three of them went in the top 30. And they don't have that type of talent along the defensive line today.
No, and then, you know, you had the Deshaun Watsons of the world. Ooh. And, you know, you had some ballers on, you know, on offense that really made things click. And you don't
even
have
Tajay Boyd.
That's
when
right.
When Tajay was there, he
was
a really good player.
You know, what's the guy that's playing at Jacksonville now? I can't think of his name. Trevor Lawrence. I mean, he was really good for them as well. Then, you know where it all started to go downhill? DJ Uiagalelei.
Well, Florida State found out he couldn't play either.
Oregon State found out. Everybody found out. Now we all know.
I still don't understand how Mike Norvell thought that guy
could be.
And, boy, did they go down the drain quickly.
You know what I think it is? I think it's one of those cases where you think that you can fix it.
He wants to be Dr. Phil.
You know?
But not everybody, you know, is fixable. Even Dr. Phil will tell you that.
Well, you know, Phil Donahue is another one. That's sometimes you can't fix it. It's okay, though.
Charlie Long will like this. University of Louisiana, the Raging Cajuns, they won today 37-23.
Yes.
And it got Decimo to 10 wins.
That's right.
10-2.
That's beautiful.
The Raging Cajuns. And so they beat UL Monroe 37-23 today. But, man, congratulations to the Raging Cajuns. They've sort of flown under the radar a little bit because of the success that Summerall and Tulane have
That's
had.
That's right.
But, man, he's built something there.
Let me show you something. You know what I really like about these next level, just slightly under LSU schools, your Tulanes, your ULs, and your La Techs, is they're getting that leftover talent from Louisiana, Mississippi, and Texas, and they're really honing these guys to become who they are, right? They take a two-star and a three-star or a two-star and a one-star, and by the end of their career at whatever school, they've grown and maturated to becoming who they're going to be. Now, whatever that looks like, they're not going to ever be a four-star or a five-star or anything like that, but they play great within the system. They play hard. They understand what the team game effort is. And those coaches at those three schools are doing a phenomenal job.
I'll ask you this question before we go to break. What do you think will happen with Harold Perkins? Because he's, to me, a great athlete with a non-defined description on the position. I don't know how you can throw your name in the NFL draft, and yet you really don't have a defined position that you can play for him. They tried him at inside linebacker. That didn't work. And he's a little too small for the inside linebacker spot. They tried him outside. Now, I think he's a terrific pass rusher. But is he going to be a hybrid player in the NFL? Because to me, if that's the case, you almost got to come back. I don't know if he'll come back to LSU or he'll leave and go somewhere else, but you almost got to come back and prove it.
I know he's got to come back and prove it because we didn't see enough of whatever he's going to be. But in my opinion, he's definitely not a guy that can put his hand on the ground at the defensive end and then try to rush the quarterback. I don't think he's that kind of a guy as well. That's right. I don't think he's that kind of a guy. I do think that if he's fast enough, because I don't know how much more weight or bigger he can get, I think playing some kind of down safety is probably in the cards for him. And it may not be a nickel-type situation. It may be like a Cam Chancellor type situation that
Cam,
I see him playing.
Cam's bigger than him, I can tell you.
That's right.
Cam Chancellor was a big man out there on that field.
He's a huge guy, and I think that Harrell brings the same type of energy that Cam brings in, like a Bob Sanders or something like that. I think that's the type of position. It's going to have to be some kind of safety that comes down in the box.
Yeah, I would agree with you. You talk about doing a total 180. Cam Chancellor, I think it was 6'3 and a half, 235 pounds.
Yep.
Bob Sanders was 5'8 and 185 pounds at the most. And, man, both those guys could play. Now, Sanders' career got cut short because, man, he was so reckless with his body.
He didn't
care. Can't play like that and stay healthy in the National Football League.
You know, that reminds me of when I was playing for Lower Coast way back in the days when I was 8 and 9 years old. I was so reckless, man. I used to come downhill and just tear him up, and it was a wonderful thing, you know?
We'll be back with more of our Gulf Coast Bank and Trust Tiger Tailgating Show from Acme Oyster House, 3535 Perkins Road in Baton Rouge, right after this break here on the Big 870 WWL. Welcome back to our Gulf Coast Bank and Trust Tiger Tailgating Show. Mike and Herb here at Acme Oyster House, 3535 Perkins Road here in Baton Rouge. Also want to thank MAP Construction, also Mr. Daniel Williams, who was here from MAP.
Yep.
And thank him for bringing Andrew,
yep,
who came share us a little bit of knowledge and what, mm-hmm, he does. Every Saturday morning has his own little game day segment right outside of his house.
Yep.
That's awesome. That is really, really awesome to do. We're now going to go to our Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and Text line, and it'll be our Inside the Tiger Den segment. And is brought to you by Go Tax Resolution.
That's right.
Your go-to tax resolution team, Go Tax Go. And on our Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and Text line, we have on with us Ryan Aber, who writes for the Oklahoman. Ryan, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for having me on.
Ryan, how shocking, now be truthful now, how shocking was it to watch what you watched last Saturday?
That's right.
As Oklahoma, I mean, they just disassembled Alabama in every which way that you could. We saw before, man, LSU, they couldn't barely touch Milrow. And you guys stifled him. You made him throw the ball to try to beat you. He couldn't do it. And everything clicked for the Sooners. No question, the best football game they played this year.
Yeah, no doubt about it. It was, you know, I've been doing this a while. This is my 12th season covering Oklahoma football and sort of on and off for most of the last 25. Well,
okay.
It was the most shocking result I had been a part of. You know, I think about that Sugar Bowl upset of Alabama about a little bit more than a decade ago when Trevor Knight just went crazy. But that one last Saturday was, you know, even above that as far as just stunning results. And it wasn't just that they won, but the way that they won. You talk about what they did to Milrow, Eli Bowen shutting down Ryan Williams, and then obviously that defensive performance from OU, and then their offense not turning the ball over and just sort of grinding the game out on the ground.
Herb?
Yeah, but, you know, with that's Venable's calling card, right, is defense, and that's what it looks like. So my question to you, Ryan, is, you know, you go back and you look at Lincoln Riley and what he did at Oklahoma as the quarterback whisperer, and he's got, you know, all of these Heisman Trophy winning quarterbacks that he's, you know, I guess manifested into what they are now in the NFL and things like that. What's Brent's forte, and how does everyone in Oklahoma Soonerland, how do they feel about him right now?
Yeah, I think certainly after that last week, a lot more positive. But they wanted a better defense in Norman, and you know, really wanted that to be a big piece of their team moving forward after Lincoln Riley left, which was pretty shocking at the time when he made that departure. But I think a lot of people looked at it as an ability to reset as they got ready to go into the SEC, and he certainly rebuilt that defense sort of step by step. Now, obviously, there's a lot of room to grow still, especially on the offensive side, and didn't make the right offensive coordinator hire in the offseason after Jeff Lebby left. But now, after last week, a lot of people still wanted to see Brent Venables succeed, but certainly after last week, a whole lot more positive feeling around Norman and around the program here, as they wrap up this regular season.
Brian, you can't start the engine over on the car, turn it over without the quarterback. And, man, we saw early in the season, because they played Tulane, man, Jackson Arnold was he was terrific that game. More running the ball than, say, throwing it. But, man, he had a really good game against the Green Wave. And then, man, derailment. And then Michael Hawkins comes in for a while at quarterback, and then they went back to Jackson. How do you look at his development at the big position out on the field? If you don't have that guy, mm-hmm. you're going to struggle in this league. And so your thoughts on his maturing and his growth as a quarterback this season?
Yep.
Yeah, I think overall you've seen some growth in him, but also I think it's really hard to give a fair grade to his season when you look at not only their offensive line struggles, and their offensive line has gotten a lot better over these last few weeks, but to be without pretty much your top five wide receivers for virtually the entire season, it's going to be difficult. And I think certainly the ball security issue is one that you circle as something that he's really got to get better in. He was fantastic in that regard a week ago, and has to be today if OU is to have a chance. But I think overall it's just really difficult to grade the job that Jackson Arnold has done. And I think it's going to be, interesting to see what happens here heading into the offseason as they – make that decision on the offensive coordinator. Does whoever they hire bring in his own guy? Does Jackson feel like he fits into that system? But I think you still see a lot of the talent that made Jackson Arnold a five-star recruit out of high school. It's just still a matter of questioning, whether he can put it all together and take that next significant step forward.
Number 28, Daniel Stutzman. I told Herb the story and talking to Coach for Tulane, man, John Sumrall, I told him before the game, I said, Coach, I'm going to just tell you, man, 28. I mean, he's all over the field. So when we did our Tulane Tuesday segment, he came back and said, Mike, I got to tell you something. Every time we went in that direction, it looked like twins.
That's right.
That day, I was two of them out there. I said, oh, like it used to be like the Selman brothers at Oklahoma.
Yep.
Yeah. He said, but it wasn't two. He said that was only one.
That's right.
But he said, man, you could have swore it was two of them. Him to come back, because I think he'd have been most likely an early mid-round pick had he decided to come out early last year. Him deciding to come back for that last season with the Sooners has really been a big part of any progression you had on the defensive side of football. You just look at the tackles, he doubles everybody in the amount of tackles he makes out on the field. Terrific football player. And hard to be replaced once he leaves.
Yeah, no doubt about it. I mean, when you look at the OU career tackles list and you see him right up there with guys like Brian Bosworth, I mean, that says something about the kind of career that he's put together. And I think he's really taken a step forward this year. I think maybe before this year you could say, well, he's sort of a compiler and things get funneled to him. Especially last week, it was him going out and making the plays. He set the tone from the very jump, stopped Jalen Milroe, right at the line of scrimmage on the very first play of the game. And that sort of got this defense going. And that's what he's been. He's been that not only emotional leader, the vocal leader, but also the guy who goes out there and makes the play when they really need it. To get him and Billy Bowman back, I think, are two of the biggest pieces for why this defense has taken a significant step forward. And, if they wouldn't have taken a step forward, you can only imagine where this OU team would be this year with some of the offensive struggles that they've had. And, you know, I know it's been a long, long time since they've had a guy lead the way that Danny Stutzman has. And then you also talk about Brent Venables and, you know, what he wants to do. Brent Venables' calling card, whether it was at OU the first time or at Clemson, was linebacker play. And Danny Stutzman is a Brent Venables type of linebacker and has really helped that defense and that linebacker group set the tone.
I think one of the things in coming into the SEC that was in question was, could OU match the physicality up front, offensive, defensive line? Now, I think you're a little bit closer on the defensive line than offensive line.
Yep.
And I think some injuries have certainly played a part in that. But how would you look at it? Because I think that's the big jump from the Big 12 to the SEC. You played fast players, quick players.
Yep.
But is the physicality of the SEC, offensive, defensive line-wise, that separates them from any other conference?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And, you know, I covered this conference for a few years back in the early 2000s, covering Arkansas. And, yeah, when I made the move and started covering the Big 12 regularly, you could see the difference on the front. And you thought, hey, the OU offensive line was in much better position because of the job that Bill Beedenbow has done with that group. But he missed on some of those portal guys, and then they've had quite a few injuries up there. But that defensive line has really progressed over this last part of the season. You look at R. Mason Thomas at the defensive end spot. He had a really big play there at the end of that game last week to lead to an interception that Woody Washington made. They've had, you know, getting Dominic Williams from TCU was a really big addition, but it's just been about building the depth. And you look at the young players up there. They've got Jaden Jackson, the first defensive tackle to start as a freshman at OU since Tommy Harris, a guy who I know y'all are a little bit familiar with down this way. And so it's been a while. And so they've not only got some of that physicality up front, but they've got it from young guys who are going to be around, and they've got a good base to build off of. Still have some steps forward to take there, but certainly much better position than they were, you know, even 2 years ago.
So Oklahoma's, 6-5 right now. I know you said that the fan base feels really good about the win last week, but what do they feel about the state of the actual program now under Brent than what it was before? Now, I know what they want, but you got to give coaches an opportunity, right? I'm one of these guys that 5 years is enough time for a coach for you to get, allow them to be able to be successful if that's what's going to happen. But I know people are kind of impatient, things of that nature. But I do see some good things that Brent's doing over there. Is his job safe? If he loses today, loses a bowl game, is that it for him? What do you think?
I think this offensive coordinator hire is really important because they've got to get a guy in who can start building up that side of the ball, because clearly Seth Luttrell was not the answer over there. And you've seen some positive developments in the offense since Joe John Finley took over, but they've got to make many more significant steps of progress on that side of the ball. So I think Brent Venables' job is safer right now, but this offensive coordinator hire is sort of a make or break thing for him and his future at OU. There's a lot of people who still really love Brent Venables and the job he's done as far as building up that defense, as far as changing the physicality mindset on both sides of the ball, and as far as setting the culture. But OU fans certainly want to see offense, and they haven't seen much of it this year and need to make some significant strides forward there for Brent Venables' long-term future.
Ryan, close your ears on this. I hope the offense don't percolate tonight.
Me too. No.
But you never know. Yeah, LSU's defense has been so Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde all year long.
Yeah. You know? And it could be great, but you never know.
Yeah, it's been a lot more Dr. Jekyll, too. Ryan, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon. Man, appreciate it. I know you came in on kind of last-minute notice, but, brother, we appreciate you.
You
did a fantastic job.
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you all so much for having me on, and have a great one this weekend, and enjoy the game tonight.
All righty. Thank you. Ryan Aber, who covers, man, did a great job today.
Yeah.
Covers the Oklahoma Sooners for the Oklahoman. We want to thank him for joining us this afternoon. Ryan's segment in our Inside the Tiger Den was brought to you by Go Tax Resolution. Your go-to tax resolution team, Go Tax Go. We'll be back with more of our Gulf Coast Bank and Trust Tiger Tailgating Show right after this break. We're back here on our Gulf Coast Bank and Trust Tiger Tailgating Show. Mike DeTillo along with Herb Tyler. We're at Acme Oyster House here in Baton Rouge, 3535 Perkins Road. Come on by and visit us. We'll be here until 4 o'clock. But then afterwards, man, if you want to come get something to eat and drink, if you don't have a ticket to the game, come on by. You can watch the games. They have them all up on these 18-screen TVs that are surrounding us at the moment. Also want to thank our presenting sponsor, Map Construction. Map Build Beyond do a great job each and every year of sponsoring us here. Also thank Mr. Daniel Williams, who brought his son Andrew.
That's right.
And he did his little question and answer with us, and like he does every Saturday morning at his house. He's got a little Saturday game day thing built up there. Herb, I think tonight turnovers are going to play huge, because I think really what tilted the field last week was, man, Milroe just turning the ball over time after time after time. And, you know, he threw a lollipop up there. They brought it back for a score. But, man, he was forcing balls into coverages that I don't know what he was looking at, to be honest.
It was strange because it looked like the Milroe from the first – one or two, three games of last season
yep.
that Saban was, you know, pulling his hair out because of. And that's not normally like Milroe. You know, he's one of my favorite quarterbacks. He's one of the best decision-making quarterbacks I've seen in a long time. You know, the tail end of last year and the beginning of this year. But for some reason, it's kind of reverted back for some reason. I don't know why.
It wasn't good.
No, it wasn't good. But it's kind of – it's the same thing that Nuss did, too. Remember, all of a sudden
– against Florida.
Not just Florida, against Texas A&M as well. It's like, what are we doing here? Why are we making these decisions that are nowhere near the type of decisions that we're used to you making? You know, it was kind of weird, and it just really felt – just uneasy, because we know they're better than that. We know they don't do those kind of things. So
we'll save the keys for our last segment. But your thoughts on tonight, Texas A&M, and to watch A&M, they got caught in the trap last week playing Auburn. And you had a chance to win it, to be honest, and you let it slip away. I give Auburn a lot of credit. They played hard. They're not playing for anything other than pride. They're able to pull that game out. And Alabama's only got a 7-0 lead against them now. And you deep into the second quarter. This almost seems like a trap for Texas.
It's 100% trap.
And they better watch out. Texas's defense has played better than I thought. But to be honest, their offense, they haven't played as well as I thought I would see this Longhorn offense play this year.
So we saw it happen earlier today with Michigan, Ohio State.
Yep.
Doesn't matter what the rankings are. Doesn't matter what the wins and losses are. This is one of those games. Texas A&M. Whoever is going to win this game is going to be the one who is the most prepared, the one that fears the most of losing, and the one that really takes a lot of pride in their school colors. And the logos on the uniform.
And they hate one another.
And they hate
and
one another.
And no dislike.
So
it's a hate.
You said something that was important, but I think I know the reason. The reason why I think Texas's offense is not what we were anticipating it to be is because yours have been hurt for a significant amount of time, and they just never really truly gelled. And then there is this looming thing of a Arch Manning behind him.
He's looking in that rearview mirror it is, every play.
That's a thing. It's not a, you know, some kind of, you know, magic trick. It's a real thing. It's out there. Literally, he's on a commercial with Dr. Pepper saying, you know, it doesn't matter if your backup has nice flowing hair and a great last name. You know, it doesn't matter. You know, so in my mind, I'm like, that has to be an issue for him.
I think he's pressing.
He's definitely.
I think yours is pressing.
And he did that before in the past, too, even before Arch got there. Right. He was still, you know, really trying really hard and too much instead of just playing the game and letting it come to him. And so but my thoughts on this game tonight is the fact that, you know, they're playing at Texas A&M. That 12th man is killer out there. That stadium is architect and designed to help to have the 12th man inside.
Yeah.
And so that's going to be hard for Texas. Now, is the Texas that played Georgia going to be the same Texas that show up? Or is it going to be the Texas that we all think and know that they're supposed to be? So that's going to be the question. But I will say this. I want Texas to win. But I think A&M is going to win this game.
I wouldn't be surprised at it, to be honest with you. You think about Quinn Ewers. He was the number one rated player in the country. He goes to Ohio State 1 year, goes back home to Texas, and is playing for the Longhorns. He got to understand that your rankings don't matter.
No.
It didn't matter when you were at Ohio State.
Mm-mm.
It's not going to matter here. But the fact that Arch is there, I think that's some pressure that you've built up inside of you.
That's right.
Not somebody
it's
else has.
Imaginative.
You have.
That's right. That's just like stress, right? It's
right.
Just like,
correct.
You know, those different things that we're so worrying about something that'll never happen until it actually happens. Most of the time, the things that we, you know, feel anxiety about are things that we put in our own heads that we're so worried about that's about to happen now. That's never, ever going to happen.
In a year from now.
It never, ever happened.
It never happened, and you worried for nothing.
That's right, exactly.
We'll be back to finish it off here on our Gulf Coast Bank and Trust Tiger Tailgating Show. Mike Dettelia along with Herb Tyler at Acme Oyster House, 3535 Perkins Road. Also, if you want catering done, give him a call here. Talk to Jason. He'll cater meals there. Also, too, for the holidays coming up, just past Thanksgiving. But if you don't want to cook for Christmas, New Year's, you want seafood, give them a call here at Acme Oyster House and ask for Jason. We'll be back with a little bit more of our Tiger Tailgating Show right after this break here on the Big 870 WWL. We're finishing up here on our Gulf Coast Bank and Trust Tiger Tailgating Show. Want to thank everybody here at Acme Oyster House here in Baton Rouge. Do a great job hospitality-wise. They always take tremendous care of us, and so we appreciate Jason and everybody here that does that each and every week. Also want to thank our presenting sponsor, MAP Construction. Mr. Daniel Williams with MAP was here a little bit early, and we want to thank him and what MAP does to create this show each and every year. Also, some news breaking in college football that Central Florida's head coach Gus Malzahn, who was former head coach at Auburn, he is stepping down as the head coach at UCF to join Florida State, and he'll be Mike Norvell's offensive coordinator.
That's right.
How about that? We saw it last year with Ryan Day going out and bringing in Chip Kelly, who was at UCLA, and now Gus Malzahn has been brought in now by Florida State to be their new offensive coordinator. That offense is going to look different with Gus.
It will, and I guess Gus is thinking, well, you know what? If I go out there and change the offense and we actually start scoring some points and they still lose, well, you know what? Norvell might get fired, but they might promote me, the head coach. I like the attitude. Look at Gus. He's making a smart move right there.
Man, one thing I know about Gus, Gus know how to count money.
He know how to do that.
I mean, he does know what dead presidents on paper look like.
And he's supposed to, because there's a lot of that going around.
Yeah. Bobby always says that about me, but I can say that about Gus. Keys to victory real quick, Herb.
Again, LSU, man, just don't turn the ball over. Let's continue to ride the wave from last week. Let's not put that bad taste in our mouth as far as like the A&M, the Alabama, and the Florida game. Let's keep that away from us. You know, play hard up front. You know, like you said, it could be the last time that we see the bookends at tackle play
Will
in the
Campbell,
LSU uniform.
Emory Jones,
you never know. So they need to play hard. They need to go out there and try to get a 100-yard rusher. And the defense, just fly around the ball. Make sure you make the five-star quarterback play like a five-star quarterback. And that's it, and I think we'll be fine. And I hope the fans are into the game from the first snap to the last snap.
Other guy, too. We'll never see him again in Tiger Stadium, Josh Williams.
Josh Williams, that's
man,
right.
Think about, you know, what he went through, come on as a walk-on, mm-hmm. and to play a big part in LSU's offense mm-hmm. over the last three seasons. It's amazing.
He's been the constant, if you think about it. If you think about it, that running back, he's the only one that's been there, the offense, period. He's been a pillar of that offense, so it's really good to see him.
We'll throw it now to the LSU Radio Network, and at 6 o'clock right here on the Big 870 WWL, LSU Tigers, Oklahoma Sooners, right here on the Big 870 WWL. Thanks for listening.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.